Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
Yeah.
God's got a blessing.
With your name on it.
With your name on it.
God's got a blessing.
Welcome. Welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe. I am your host, Big Joe. How is everybody doing today? D-Ray, are you with me?
Yes, sir. Always here. How you doing?
How you doing, D-Ray?
I'm great.
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. D-Ray, I got a buddy with me. I got a good friend of mine by the name of Ryan Harris. Ryan, are you there?
I am here, sir.
How are you doing today, sir?
I am great, sir. I am blessed to be alive.
Man, this is a real good buddy of mine, real good friend. Ryan, if you don't mind, can you please give us your information, where you're from, where do you minister, how to reach you, if you have a way to reach you.
Yes, my name is Ryan Ferris. I am a minister at the First Baptist Bracktown in Lexington, Kentucky. I have been in ministry since 2015. I currently work for the Lexington Veterans Administration Hospital. I proudly help to take care of our veterans. But my first calling is, of course, to the higher calling of preaching God's word. I come with no pretension or pride. I'm just thankful to be in the service of God. And you can reach me at RyanFrrs at yahoo.com.
Now, there is a part he did leave off, and I'm not going to let him leave it off. He is also a wonderful singer. We used to sing in a group back in the day. I'm trying to get him to sing something, but he keeps telling me, now I'm not going to do it. He's not going to do it. But the man is actually talented and definitely anointed. Ryan, we're going to have a conversation today about with all of this, with all of everything, Corona, and not just Corona, but life situations. You have people that are going through abuse right now. You have children that are being hurt by their parents.
Uh-huh.
And the question is, where is God? So we're going to get into all of that, but you know, we got to play another song and give everybody a little time to unwind. So we're going to get back into one more song. Is that all right with you, B-Ray?
Yes, that's perfectly fine. We're going to hear Can't Give Up Now by Mary Mary.
Never said I wouldn't fall. Never. Pastor Mark
Harris to join us here lately, later if he can. Not 100% sure if he can, but as you know, I like to get the pastor's input. Me and Minister Ryan Ferris, we were having a conversation now. And we decided to bring the conversation to the world. Again, people are hurting and they're wondering in this situation, where is God? Help us out.
Right. One thing, while you was talking, one thing that came to mind for me, I mean, because I don't really have an answer, but what came to mind, you know, I've been going to church my whole life. What came to mind is, no matter what it is and how bad it is, no matter how young or old the individuals are, I would say God will get the glory out of all of this that's going on, no matter what it looks like. You know, it could be a bad situation, but it may not turn around for your good right then, but it will. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I would say on it. I mean, I know there's other answers and other solutions and all that, but honestly, that's what I would say. That's what I would have to say.
Yes, brother, I totally agree with you.
Somebody's radio is just a little bit too loud.
I don't have.
Yeah, I don't know if it's
getting just.
Yeah,
I'm
you think it's mine? I got headphones. Yeah, I got headphones on. I don't know if that's
a
problem.
Yeah, it might be UT.
Okay, all right, I'll check.
Yeah, brother, as I was saying, I totally agree with what the brother just said. That's a perfect assessment for the question, where is God in all of this? You know, there are many folks out there right now, Brother Joe, that are like you said, are hurting. And right now they are pondering this question. Now, at first glance, we would think that question is reserved simply for those who don't believe in God. But if we're honest and we're not too sanctified, we can admit that even as believers, there are times in our lives where we wonder, where is God? We look at the word Noah, wondered, where was God? Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Ruth, Samson, they all wondered at some point in their journeys, where was God? As a matter of fact, Matthew, the 27th chapter and the 46th verse, Jesus himself says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So there are times in all of our lives, whether we're saved or not, where we ponder this question, where is God in all of this? Well, Brother Joe, I just have to believe that God, in his infinite wisdom, he knows every single detail of every single person's story. So when there's a natural disaster that tears up a town that's already poor, or when there's a child being abused, or when a baby dies, or when we're going through this coronavirus, and we wonder, where is God in all of this? We just have to accept and believe that God, in his sovereign will, has a purpose for our very situation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That is a amazing answer. And you brought up a lot of good points, because at times when we think of this question, we think of the unbeliever. I think at times we forget about the believer themselves actually going through and actually asking, hey, I believe in you. Why am I still going through this?
That's right.
And I like how you said that. It is everybody is going to have that moment.
Yes.
And you have to believe and know what you believe in. Nothing can shake it. Nothing can separate you from what you know. And it has to be, as the cliche is, it has to be an anchor. It has to hold you regardless to the way the wind moves.
Mm-hmm.
It has to hold you in place. Is Pastor Harris on the line by chance?
Not yet.
My next question, and I'm going to have to ask Pastor Harris these questions again when he gets back on. My next question would be, how do we find God in this situation? For those that don't know God, we know that those who do know God, we know how to pray.
Yes.
We know how to fast. We know how to work our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the one that does not have a relationship, that has not had the church background? Excuse me. Who maybe not had the Big Mama experience, where mm-hmm. Big Mama took you to church and gave you the foundation of a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who absolutely don't know,
mm-hmm.
how do they find a relationship with God?
Well, Brother Big Joe, I would say this. I think in that sense, the onus or the responsibility for that falls on the mature believer. To provide that example for those who are not as strong in the faith and for the unbeliever, I just believe that no matter what storm we are in, that God won't waste our pain. God won't waste our pain. For you see, God takes whatever we're going through and he snatches his glory out of it, kind of like what the brother was talking about earlier. God will take whatever we're going through and snatch his glory out of it. Let me tell you what I mean. So let's just say a believer who is mature in the faith is going through a storm. Guess what? The one who's not as mature is watching how you go through that storm, and the non-believer is watching how you go through that storm. Let me show you what I mean. If you tell a non-believer that God is real and they are on the fence or they don't believe, if you get a brand new car, that non-believer will rationalize God out of that. They'll say, if I save my money, I can get a new car too. If a non-believer watches you get a brand new house, they can rationalize God out of that. They can say, well, if I put money to the side and put into my 401k or something like that, I can get a new house as well. But when the non-believer watches you go through a storm, they watch you flat on your back, and there's no other way you could have come out but by the grace of God, then at that moment they might say, there must be a God somewhere. So we have to understand our responsibility as believers. God told us we were going to go through trials and tribulations, but not for no reason. Because, you see, when we go through it, somebody's watching how we come through as believers, and that uh-huh. can act to draw them to God.
I got you. Does anybody have anything?
I mean, and even to go further, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So using your analogy of a non-believer watching a believer and how they react to circumstances. What if the believer is just doing it for show? You know, it's not truly a relationship with God that they're seeking, but they're like those that just go out and speak about God all the time, but they really and truly don't believe. Like false
prophets.
That's
a very good point.
I almost wanted to answer that question. But no, you are our guest. No, you're our guest. Please answer, and I will reply after. But please,
I got.
So if your walk is not real, if your walk is in any way false, have you ever noticed that it will be the non-believer that can tell that? They can tell. They can sniff that out. They can they can sniff that out in a minute, because if it ain't real, it becomes worldly, and a non-believer is in the world. They know a scam when they see it.
can I cut in right there?
Yes, sir.
And this is what I was honestly going to say. It seems like you can almost fool anybody but a kid, right?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like God gives a child an insight about a person when they can see something that we can't see. It's like a special protection, if you would. Have you ever seen that, to where a child gets uneasy around a certain person? You don't know why that child is uneasy, but you can sense it. You can see it.
Yeah, it's something.
I feel like God does the same thing with babes in Christ.
He puts
a little something in you to where you will see the authentic versus the fake. Where you can see the original versus someone just trying. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I say what I want? I want to answer that question too. Because I'm honestly a witness of this particular situation. Yeah. You can take somebody that's a non-believer that doesn't believe, and then you can take somebody. Take two people. You could take one person that goes to church and say he's a believer, but he's actually not. You know, you get what I'm saying? Then you take another person that is in church and that actually does believe, right? And then that person that's claiming to be a Christian or claiming to believe or whatever the case may be, he may influence that non-believer to the point where that non-believer sees that person that they're not real or sincere, or you know, they can tell that something that's not right with that person. They can take that and flip it, and then want to find out about God themselves. And then later on, say that non-believer becomes a believer, and he's far along than the person that said they were believing they wouldn't.
That's right, brother. That's right.
Yes, sir.
You know, the world, especially this global pandemic, the world is watching how the believer is reacting. And I look at all these stories about all these churches where the pastor made the decision to keep the doors of the church open, even though he knew he was directly putting his flock at risk. And the non-believer says, well, if he loves God and God has assigned him to his people, but he's putting him in harm's way, what kind of God is that they are serving?
Right.
You know, so we have to understand that we are to be an example to those who are either less along the way in their walk that we are, and to the non-believer. Most importantly, the non-believer. You know what I'm saying? And I always go back to the word, because that's where I just have to stay. You look at Lazarus. You know, God and Lazarus, Jesus and Lazarus were best buddies. It would be like your best homeboy. You let him die, You let him stay dead for 4 days. Well, why would you do that if you had the power to save him in the first place? Very simply. And the Bible's clear. After everything happened and Jesus let Lazarus die, at the end of it, it says, and they seen this and they believed.
So after they seen this, they believed.
But imagine what Jesus wept during this process. The reason that Jesus allowed his best friend to die was so that the non-believer would gain belief. But imagine, from a humanistic standpoint, understanding that Jesus was fully God and fully man, letting your best friend die just so that God could get the glory. So going back to those faith, you know, those who are faithfully walking through, at some point, if your walk ain't real, if the storm keeps blowing long enough, you're going to revert back to your fake self.
So,
amen.
So,
amen.
With that being said, there is a non-believer that is out here that has watched the fake one walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know the steps. They don't know the actual steps. The 1, 2, 3. B-Ray, something's going on with the line. Pastor Harris can't get on.
I didn't see him pop up. Let me see if I can call in on another line and see if I can get the same, if I'm getting the same message or not. Go ahead and continue with your convo, though.
Someone don't know the 1, 2, 3 steps of getting to a relationship. What are the 1, 2, 3 steps, if there are 1, 2, 3 steps? I mean, to the one who wants to try God and they're tired of all of these or the fakers that they do see, and they can't trust their word, and they're listening to Big Joe Show right now trying to find out, how do I get into a relationship with God? What are the steps? Help me out, please.
Go ahead, brother.
I thought the other brother was about to say something. Okay, so for me,
I believe that the first step has to be that you realize, understand, and accept the fact that the way you've been living your life ain't working, right? You have to accept and acknowledge that firstly. So once you've acknowledged that the way you have been living your life isn't working, then you have to then understand and believe that there is a power greater than you that can restore your life back to sameness. And then once you've accepted that fact, then you have to be able to acknowledge and accept the fact that Jesus died for your sins on the cross. But you confess that belief, and at that moment you are saved. Now, once you become saved, that's the beginning of a beautiful life, in my opinion. Because then, once you become saved, you begin to cultivate a relationship. Now, let's talk about that word relationship, because a lot of times we miss it. Once you're saved, you can't just say, okay, I'm saved, and then not cultivate that relationship. That would be like getting married and not spending any time with your wife. Once you cultivate a relationship, you have to spend time in his word. You have to pray. Because, see, when we spend time in his word, what we are actually doing is, what I love about God is, God is the only teacher that will give you a test, but give you the book with all the answers in it. You know what I'm saying? So it would be like your teacher saying, your teacher in class saying, okay, we got an open book test, and you leave your book.
An
open book test is what life is once you are saved. And then so you cultivate that relationship
by, first of all, like I said, the first step is acknowledging that the way you've lived before God is not working. Then you become saved. Then once you become saved, the third step is cultivating that relationship. Once you cultivate that relationship through prayer and through reading His Word, then the question, where is God in all of this, you have a better understanding of where He is because you have that relationship. Because, Brother Joe, I ain't got to tell you, it's a lot of church folk that don't have that relationship, and they struggling right now. They struggling right now. Because, see, when you have that relationship and you spend time in His Word, then you understand that there are going to be storms. There are either those storms that God causes, or there are storms that God allows. Either He caused it or He allowed it. So if He calls, let's just say hypothetically that He caused this storm we're going through right now in the coronavirus, then what could be the reason that He caused it? Was it that
Well, hold on before we even go there. Hold on before we even go there. Just walk through the back door. I've seen him park. I got Pastor Harris with me. Pastor Mark Harris of the Cooper Street Baptist Church. Pastor, are you with
me? My brother. Yes, I'm here. Yes, sir.
I have a good friend of mine, Minister Ron Ferris. This is Pastor Mark Harris.
Greetings, Pastor. How you doing, brother?
Wonderful. Good to hear from you. And
yes,
it was an interesting conversation. I was following you, and I don't know about the beginning, but I was listening to how you was arresting the text. Meaning it sounds wonderful. But keep talking.
Well, I gotta bring you in, Pastor, because I mean, like this is a good friend of mine. My job has some things going on, and I was going to have him host the show. So I figured there's only one way you can feel how to host a show one day is to actually be on the show. And we have to have a pastor's input. We have to.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
We have to. As associate ministers, they do not have the responsibility or the blood of the flock on their hands.
Yes,
so
sir.
With that being said, they won't push or I feel like certain pastors will not push their own agenda. They will push the word. And that's
yes,
what we
sir.
Need at a time like this.
Yes,
we
sir.
Need the word.
Amen.
The question of the day that we have asked is, last week we had a story where we talked about church hurt, and we talked about a 11-year-old girl that was raped by her biological father, who was a pastor. And last week we was talking about how to deal with sexual abuse and get over the church hurt when it's done in the church. So that brought up the conversation of someone wondering, not only with the corona, but with everyday situations, somebody is being abused, somebody is being hurt, and they are wondering, where is God in their situation right now?
Okay.
Help us out.
Okay. So the premise is then, where is God, right?
Yes, sir.
Or why isn't God doing something about this? Or why does God allow this?
Yes.
Well, first of all, sin is the corporate.
Mm.
And sin came into the world and arrested the creation that God had created that was all good.
Mm-hmm.
It is after that the thorns start growing. And thistles came in the field. The lions turned against the lamb. All of these things came into being when sin came in. And because of man's disobedience, sin got worse. And when he sends his son to put us back where God, or give us an opportunity to get back where God intended in the beginning, was a relationship with him, then they killed him. And so now we're under what is called grace. The question is, when something tragic happens, it's where is God? He is where he's always been. The question is, where are we? And if we have a relationship, and I heard the young man say a while ago, if we have a relationship with God, then our outlook on life is different from those who don't.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Whether we're under, if we're under his covering, we're under his grace, we have his insight through his word to follow his mandate. The world is lost and confused and out of touch. They're arguing right now on CNN as to what's more important, going back to work, establishing economics, or causing people to put themselves in harm's way, and the lives that are going to be lost, that they could care less for as long as they get the economy back. What is more important? The scripture says that life is more than the clothes you wear. And the economic power in this country. But that's politics. That's in a political arena. And you probably would expect that from them. But from the church, from a believer, every life is precious. You know, so we can see now, because of all of these things that are occurring, what God, not where God is, but what God is saying. If we think that all of these things that we had was more important than him, then all of it is gone now. Now what's important? What's important now? Is it basketball? Is it the casino? Is it my hair, my nails, the way I dress? I mean, what's important? Life ought to be more important than anything else, but we made everything else more important than life.
That's right.
Yeah. And so what's happening is that in this year of vision, we are seeing things clearer than we ever have in life.
That's right.
It ought to be 2020 for a Christian. It ought to be.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
You ought to be able to see it.
That's
now,
right, man.
The truth of the matter is judgment is still pending. And we're up under grace. And while under grace, God has given us time. But we don't have the time we think we have. When he tells the parable of the fig tree, he says the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Judgment is pending. I've been coming here for 3 years. This fig tree has been planted in a vineyard. It's been planted in a productive place. It ought to produce. But I'm not being overly optimistic. I mean, I came to get some figs. I want some fruit. But there is none. The dresser of the field said, "Give me another year. Let me dung it. Let me dig about it. Let me prune it. Let me cultivate it. Let me do everything I possibly can to give it another chance." And that's what I believe. I really believe that's what's happening now. is that those of us who are close to God can see his hand operating in it, whether he caused it or he allowed it. It's mm-hmm. the same thing.
Yes, sir.
And so he says, you got 1 year. So the question is not where God is, where are we?
That's right.
What side of this parable are we on? You know, are we under grace? And if we're producing fruit, then God is going to bless us to produce more fruit.
That's right.
And the fruit is love. Jesus says, by this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if you have love one for the other. Is that right?
That's right,
sir.
But then you won't wear your mask. You won't wear your mask in public because you don't want nobody telling you what to do. But we wear the mask for other people. We don't wear the mask for ourselves. That is a sign of the love of God operating through you because you are a responsible being, not just a believer. Yes, I believe God covers me, but I need to take care of my brother. I need to take care of my mom, my grandparents, my children, my grandchildren. So that's how you can see it. You ought to be able to see God operating through people right now, and you ought to see when God is not operating through it.
That's real.
Yeah. So,
Pastor.
Sir.
Pastor, there was a question asked. B-Ray, do you remember what the question was that you asked?
Those of us that are saved or Christian, showing others who are not their belief, even though deep down inside they're just putting, like they're sheep in wolves' clothing pretty much. They're fake Christians. How can an unbeliever trust them?
How can a non-believer trust a hypocrite? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Okay.
when you put it like that, Pastor, you can't.
Okay, well, that's, you know. That would be
that's what I'm laughing at.
The point of it is that a Christian, you ought to know them when you see them based upon their character, their conduct, how they treat other people.
Mm-hmm.
No matter about what race or differences they have, it's how you treat them.
Mm-hmm.
I
love that. And, Pastor, I especially love what you said about the pruning and the parable thereof. And,
yes.
You know, We often, Pastor, you know, we look at the natural attributes of God, and a lot of times we tend to diminish the fact that he's an angry and jealous God at times. And I think that a lot of what's going on with the pruning is that he stripped everything else away that was stealing his glory. He stripped it all through this coronavirus. Everything else has been stripped away, even in the church. Think about it. Pastors that are older, that shied away from technology, if you think about it, there ain't no more praise teams. There ain't no more choirs. All that we have left is the word of God.
Yes.
And a lot of people ask, well, when is it going to be over? When is it going to be over? When is this coronavirus thing going to be over? And I like to point them to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and he says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. So I think I think that God is he said, okay, I'm set up. I'm going to strip away everything else that was distracting you from me, even in the church. And either you're going to bow down or get down. One of the two.
In the building. We have a lot of hang-up in the church house. And we don't have enough standing and knowledge of the church.
Yes.
And so we're back where we started, in the house.
My mind.
Going from house to house. That's how the church began. And we got a lot of hang-ups in the building itself, and we ought to see now what's most important. And you're right, the word is. Because
yes.
If your church, the center of your church and your gathering of your people is not the word of God, then you're going to have to come up with something to keep these folk together. Them schemes ain't going to work.
Mm. Can I ask you a question, Pastor, real quick?
Sure.
So let me ask you, after post-pandemic, because you know God's going to fix this thing, how will your church operate differently after the pandemic is over?
Well, it will operate in two ways. It will operate locally, and I see the need of being able to go further than just the local assembly. We were forced, as a pastor of 30 years, and not, you know, being on the internet, not being on Facebook or any of that. He made me change, alter my thought process about all of this. And right now, I'm reaching more people than I was when I was over there at the building.
Mm.
The word is going out further. Because what's most important is his word going forward. Now, we know based upon the word, and you said it a while ago, it's an open book test. We have all the answers to what's happening right now, but we have to study it in order to know it. He told us that the time would come that all of these things would occur. There would be a one world order and all of these things. We're not really paying attention. We keep thinking it's out some distant place, but we're here. Grace began when Jesus arrived on the scene. And grace has a period of time, and then when he returns, there will be no more grace. There will be judgment. So God is doing his thing through us, and through he uses everybody and everything for his purpose and his will. The question is, what side of it are we on? Are we going to be in his will, or are we going to be on the other side of it? If our concerns and our cares are in this world will soon to end, and we're going to end with it. But if we can see what the will of God is and the purpose of God is, and that is, God has never invested his efforts in this world or in time. All that God has taught us and is teaching us through his word is for eternity. We have put too much emphasis on stuff and things and time and the outer appearance, and nobody's looking at the heart. Nobody's looking beyond this world, because this world is temporary. And we got to leave here.
That's right.
Maybe sooner than later. So this is a reminder. This is just another reminder that time is winding up. Grace is still pending. But the axe is laid at the foot of the tree. It's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as flaw as most people think it is. And so we have to get our heart and our head right, you know, and our concern has to still be for other people rather than ourselves.
Yes, sir.
The first law of God is others. The first law of nature is self-preservation.
Mm.
And you can see it operating right now. People
mm-hmm.
are concerned. They think that by saving themselves and putting other people's lives on the line is going to save them. But it's not. He who seeks to save his life will lose it.
Mm.
But he who loses his life for my sake will find it again. That's the text. That's the scripture. That's the word. That's what we believe, but we don't pay, you know, a lot of attention to what's really going on while it's going on, because we keep thinking it's going to get better. It may not. This pandemic may be with us forever. We may be stuck in this mode of living. We may have to change and alter everything that we know about life and living. And if that's the case, can you make it? We made it on a whole lot less than what we have now. But can we make it going forward if we don't have the stuff we think we need to make it? I didn't mean to take you all there over there. I'm sorry about that.
No. Don't be sorry at all. We need it.
I like him, brother.
Pastor, I got a question, and it's almost to me the question of the day. Somebody is listening right now who has watched the hypocrite walk in front of it, and they see him, and right now they're in a situation where they want to trust God and they want to start a relationship with God, and they don't know how. They don't have the big mama that we had that drug them into the church and started out to at least getting them the starter kit to a relationship with God.
Okay.
They didn't own a Bible in the house, and they want to know the God that you know.
Okay.
How do they start? What are the steps?
The first step is this: put your trust in God and not in man. Every man has a propensity to sin. Mr. Mark, come up short. Every man, including the pastor, preacher, everybody. Every morning is a challenge to do the right thing. Paul said, every time I try to do good, evil is always present. So if you're watching me trying to get to God, you already missed the mark. If you want to find God, he's in his word. He and his word are the same. Jesus, the human example of God here on earth. The Holy Spirit is the comforter that Jesus sent after he dies to continue the work that he began. You want to know God? Genesis 1:1 said that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's where it starts. It ends in Revelation in chapter 22. It says, amen. Jesus said, no, I come in the volume of a book. These words are of me. So from Genesis to Revelation, you can find him if you look for it.
That's right.
Search the scriptures. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, one who would rightly divide the word of truth. Not to man, unto God. Your relationship with God personally starts with you and God, not you through somebody else. The problem with most people is that they operate by sight, and the just shall live by faith.
That's right.
If you read this word, you study this word, you open your heart to God, he'll let you in. And he'll come into you.
That's right.
And you'll start the relationship, not knowing a whole lot, but knowing that I want to believe. Just start there. I want to believe and I want to trust. And I want this relationship with God, and I'm going to start reading the Bible. Start there. Because a lot of the Bible, reading it, you don't get it. Some of it has to be revealed to you. But that's because you're in a relationship. Now, as you develop, as you grow, as you mature, because you've been born again, that's how you get there. by being born again, accepting him as your Lord and your Savior, and now you are born again. So you start anew, you start afresh. You start empty, and you have to be filled. So that's you know, that's what I see as far as, I mean, that, there's no other way to get to it. Jesus said he was the only way. I'm just, you know, to get to the Father. It depends on where you're going. Some people are just trying to get to the church. They're not trying to get to the Father.
That's right.
Wow. That's a good one. Wow.
They're trying to get in the choir. They're trying to get on the Usher board. Mm. They can't do it now.
That's right. See, that's it. That's it.
Look,
Pastor, they can't even get to the water. Y'all don't think that the salvation's in the water. They can't even get to the water right now.
No, sir. No, sir.
I had a brother at work the other night that made a confession of faith. And he said, well, I guess it ain't official till we get back to church and I get baptized. I said, no, brother, you are saved right now.
Yeah, that's a fact. And you need to have made him believe that and show it to him. You know, the thief on the cross didn't make it to the water.
That's right.
But Jesus told him, that day you're going to meet me. I'm going to be with you today. We're not going to leave.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask you to explain that to those that don't know. Because,
it's expedient. It's not necessary. It's expedient. It's not necessary.
Yes. That's
it's expedient. If you get the opportunity, yes, do it. But it's not necessary for salvation.
It's
salvation
not.
Is in Jesus alone.
That's right.
Period. Yeah, you know, and Jesus told Nicodemus, a man who was religious but was not righteous, okay, that you got to be born again.
That's right.
He had the papers, but he didn't have.
That's right. That's right.
So, there's a lot of folk got the papers, but they ain't got the power. So,
that's right.
You got to trust God. Just, you know, and it's a slow process. A lot of people can't stick with it because they got their eyes on other stuff. Well, you know what? The Lord knocked some of that stuff out of our way for right now. Yeah, and I don't think the world is going to ever get back to where it was. I don't, personally. And it'll be all right with me because I didn't need none of that stuff that's gone anyway. I get to go to the grocery store early because I'm old. I'm still learning.
Yes, sir.
But I think it's a wonderful thing that you guys are doing, and I think that we ought to get the word out that Jesus is still the way. He is.
That's right.
And he's the only way.
That's right.
And the truth and the life, and no man can come to him but by Jesus.
That's right.
So Jesus is the way, Doc. He's the way to life eternal. Now, I mean, a lot of people question where God is, and I've heard that so many times over the years. Where was God when my mama died? Where was God when my baby died? My husband died. He was a good man. He took care of us. Now we don't have him no more. I said, well, probably you don't need him.
That's right.
I mean, I hate to be so blunt, but people, you know, sometimes you don't get to see God until other folks leave.
That's right. That's right.
And the will of God is that no man perish.
That's right.
But I'm only come to repentance.
And Pastor, that's a great point. That's a great point. And I think me and Brother Joe came up with this. Where is God in all of this? And I think that what you're alluding to is so profound, because in any situation, God is testing us and he's trying us and he's refining us. And a lot of times, we don't even know why he's testing us or what he's preparing us for. That's where faith comes into play.
I gotta cut in right there. Job's whole story was a story about a conversation between God and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Job knew nothing about the conversation. He knew nothing about the conversation between God and Satan. All he knew was what he was going through. This was a man that was right and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But yet God started bragging on him.
That's right.
We go through things, and we go through them as a good soldier. I heard a preacher say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times when we don't understand why we go through. And it's funny because Job's whole conversation started, or Job's whole situation started because of a conversation with God and Satan, and God never told him the reason why it happened.
That's right.
He didn't need to tell
us. You know, yeah. You know, I was watching the other day, I was watching The Karate Kid. It's amazing how God can speak through anything. And
yes,
I was watching The Karate Kid, and The Karate Kid, all he wanted to do was fight. And Mr. Miyagi told him, paint the fence. Then Mr. Miyagi said, get out there and wax that car. He said, wax on. And The Karate Kid said, I just want to fight. He told him, paint the house. And back and forth, and he was teaching him all these hand movements. But all The Karate Kid wanted to do was fight. And then he finally got to fight, and he was getting whooped. And Mr. Miyagi said, paint the fence. And he started blocking everything. Then he said, wax on, wax off. And he started blocking everything. So you see, he was training him to fight, and he didn't even know he was getting trained to fight.
That's it.
And that's what we go through when we go through a test that we don't understand. We're learning things. God is teaching us stuff that we're going to need later on.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, we're being trained for his purpose.
That's right.
Everything that we are being trained for is for his purpose. The children of Israel were led out into the wilderness for 40 years in order for God to prove the people. And nobody above the age of 40 went into the promised land. Because he said he was going to raise him up a nation that would obey him. Maybe short-lived, but he did. For 40 years, they went around in the wilderness 15 miles from the promised land, 40 years. But the clothes never wore out. The shoes never wore out. They ate every day. They drank water from every day. God took care of them for 40 years until all of those above the age of 40 died. A whole generation passed from the scene. And then the man who led them out there, God used to lead them out there, he left him in the wilderness too. Because it was for his purpose and not theirs. If they would allow Moses to take him across, they'd have been, you know, they'd have crowned him a god. But God, after allowing him to die, God buried him himself so that they wouldn't know where the body was. The first funeral God ever did. Wasn't nobody there but him and God. And these folks are having a fit right now because they can't get to the cemetery when somebody close to them died. It's good. It's changing. It's changing everything that we think was pure and right and all. Yeah. Well, who don't want to go to the funeral of their loved one? But now they came to 10 people go. What 10 you going to pick?
Mm.
Because you know it's going to be a fight if I can go. I'm just giving y'all something to think about.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, don't believe the numbers, y'all. I'm telling you, I'm just going to be honest with you. None of the numbers you see on TV, on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, none of those numbers are true. It's a whole lot more people have died from the corona than they're telling you. And it's a whole lot more people that they're not telling you about. They won't even know the numbers because you would be alarmed if you did. And so the problem is with dealing with the coronavirus is not the virus itself. It's the lies. It's the conceit. It's the covering up of stuff, trying to keep stuff hidden. And that's from the White House all the way down to our house. And it's so many conspiracy theories and all of this. We think this happened and that happened. And this is, you know, they give too much credit to the generals and they give too much credit to anybody who would come up with a scheme so great. You know, because I'm sure that there have been evil men who tried all kinds of things over the years that God put things in position because God would not allow it. So if God allowed this to happen, even if God did not send it, there is a purpose for it. What is it? Well, let's take, what do you see? What do you see? What do you understand? What do you know? How do you see it? What's important and what's not?
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I know that life is but a vapor. I know that we're just here for a moment. But life is more precious than anything else in this world.
All right.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's right. That is right.
Say it again. Because only God can give it. And only God can take it away. That's what Job said. Okay, so let me
say that again, Pastor. I think you broke up a little bit on us.
I said that's what Job said. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives life. The Lord takes it away. And but it's a gift, temporary gift. And it puts us in position to get an eternal gift if we receive him as our Lord and our Savior.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's all about the purpose of God, the will of God, the creator, the maker of heaven and earth.
That's right.
Brother Joe, I have another engagement, my man.
I know you do. I thank you so much for coming on the show.
I love you, brother. I thank you. Please have me back. I love these conversations. And, Brother Pastor, I need your number, my man.
All right, you can get it from Joe.
Oh, yes, sir.
I got you.
Okay.
I got you. Thank you. Thank you. Right. Next time you come on, you sing it. No ifs, ands, buts about it.
Okay, brother, I'll do that for you.
All right, thank you.
All right. All right, bye-bye.
You want to give us your contact information one more time before you get off? Did he already leave?
He's gone.
I think he's already gone. Pastor, I thank you so much. B-Ray, T. Smiley, you still with me?
Yep.
Nope. Yes, sir. We still waiting. We got Kennedy in the building, too.
Yeah, Kennedy.
I'm making sure everybody's still with me. Any questions? Anybody got anything?
Great show tonight.
Just wanted to say hello to Pastor Harry.
Hey now. Hey, Pastor.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Hey, hello. Can you hear me?
Hey, just wanted to say hey. Just want to say hey.
Oh, hey.
Listen to you. Yes, sir.
It was an excellent.
In Georgia.
That is
yeah.
T. Smiley. That's T. Smiley.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
That is T. Smiley and Kia D.
Kia D, y'all staying safe. Y'all sheltering in place, quarantining and all that. Y'all doing the right thing, wearing your face mask.
Absolutely. Like clockwork.
I coughed on the show and somebody told me I got that Rona. I better stop coughing.
See, I'm trying to tell you.
One more cough, I'm going to hang up.
You know they say it comes through the iPhone now. You know they say Android can't get it, but iPhone, you can get it through the iPhone. So.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, listen, I thank God that we're still here.
Yes, sir.
And I thank God that you came on the call and helped us out tonight. Pastor, we're going to go ahead and close out tonight. If nobody has anything else, D-Ray, you got one more song ready for me?
As always.
All right, Pastor, I need you to close us out, and not only close us out, but I need I got a special request for you, Pastor. Somebody is listening and hasn't went through the sinner's prayer and haven't confessed the Lord out of their mouth. Help us out, Pastor.
All right, we'll do that, and we'll end in prayer. How's that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. First of all, whoever I'm speaking to, if you are ready to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Scripture says to us to confess it with our mouth, believe it in our heart, that Jesus came, lived, bled, and died on a cross, and was resurrected on the third day morning for us. He died in our place in order that we would have a right to the tree of life. So it's easy, it's simple. Of course, you're not going to know any more than you know right now after you get through saying this. But you open your heart up to him and let him fill it up with himself. Confess it. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, God's only begotten Son. I believe that he will lead me into all truth. He will enlighten my mind and understanding about the things that I don't know. And he will be patient with me. I trust in God. Say that verbally, that somebody may hear you. And then if you get an opportunity to go to the house of God, wherever you choose to go, if you can't get there, call the preacher. Tell the preacher, I'm a child of God. I accept him as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, with your head bowed, hearts humble, Lord, how we bless your name for who you are. We thank you that things are as well as they are. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for today. We don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring, but we do know that you hold tomorrow in your hand. And if I'm a sinner and I don't know you in the pardon of my sins, and I want to accept you tonight, please accept me into your kingdom. Bless me with the blessings you see we stand in the need of, and then enlighten my mind and heart. Give me the courage to stand and declare you, even in these last and evil days. And we'll be careful always to give your name the praise, for it's in the name of Jesus that we ask it. It's for his sake we pray and we thank God. Amen. Good night, my brother. Good night, my sisters.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much. This has been Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe right here on We Talk Radio. Be sure to tune in tomorrow night after the lights go out with Kia D. Ain't no telling what she's going to be talking about. Yeah, disclaimer right there. Put your kids to bed.
It goes down tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. After the lights go out right here on We Talk Radio. Yeah.
Good night, y'all. Good night. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
On my mind, searching for that peace, but the peace I could not find. So then I kneeled down to pray, help me please. And he said, you don't have to cry, I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I'm done worrying,
as I stop worrying,
worrying how the worrying,
when I let go, I've struggled from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in the head, everything will be alright.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let go and let God. Let go, let God. Oh, let go and let God. Let go and let God. My brother, let go and let God. My sister, you can't handle it. Let God. Oh, let go and let God.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.